chance for Garnacho. Turns it across Rashford.
That was United beating City today, and this is the United Man podcast. Hello, I'm the United Man, and what a day this has been. Absolutely sensational. We had been dreaming about it. We had thought that it could possibly happen. But after 4 months ago, losing in the manner we did, 6-3, didn't even tell the story that day. It could have been 9-0. And today, we took it to them. The first half was a tactical masterpiece by Erik ten Hag. He got it just right. You know, Fred stuck to his job in that first half. Impeccably kept De Bruyne quiet. Kept Haaland quiet. I think he had five touches or something ridiculous in the first half. Look, this is a day that we savour. This is a day that we hopefully will repeat on lots of occasions in the coming years, months. But we've now got a proper team. And more importantly, maybe a proper manager that is going to guide these boys. And it's just going to be so fun. And I'm enjoying every minute of today. There were moments of today which were nerve-wracking, that goal. Anyway, let's go through the game. This was Man United versus Manchester City at Old Trafford on the 14th of February. 14th of January, I'm getting carried away with myself. 14th of January, 2023. So, Man United, the lineup today was an interesting one. We probably, I would say, at least three selections I wasn't looking at. I didn't think Martial was going to play. I thought he was injured. I didn't think Malassi would play. And I didn't think Fred would play. And yet, each one of those did their job. You know, Martial, again, disappointing. He ended up going off. But actually, up until that point, had been doing, you know, hadn't had a lot of service, maybe lacked a bit of fitness on some of his work rate. But as far as holding the ball, there's one piece in the first half where he held it up beautifully and it set up a great attack. And, you know, that's what we're looking for from him. So the lineup was De Gea in goal, a back four, which was the surprise, with Luke Shaw again back in the left side of central defence, ahead of Martinez, which was a big surprise. So back four of Wan-Bissaka, Dalot is injured, at right back, Varane, Luke Shaw and Malacia at left back. Varane is probably the only first choice in his position in that back four. Luke Shaw, obviously, is first choice, but not necessarily at left centre back. But, you know, he's now not just ahead of Lindelof, Maguire, but he's also seemingly ahead of Martinez, which maybe to do with fitness of Martinez after the World Cup, or maybe a bit more pace against Haaland. But in the end, it was a fantastic call. And seeing him making those clearances with his head at the end of the game, you know, was fantastic. Malassi, I thought, had a really solid game at left back. So that was a back four. And then there was a midfield three, which is different to normal, obviously, with Casemiro and then Eriksen and Fred either side of him. But Fred, really, his job was to go wherever De Bruyne went. And he did that really well. We then had Fernandes in his kind of usual floating position, but kind of maybe played a little bit more on that kind of right-hand side, with then Rashford and Martial as a front two. But again, Rashford stretching and kind of creating a midfield five with Bruno on the right and him on the left. But they were flexible and they made it work. And And there's not one way that this Man United team plays now. They can play different ways when it's needed. And it does remind me of the Fergie days. You know, I think Solskjaer got a bit of slack for being ultra defensive against some of these teams. But it was ultra defensive in selection, not necessarily in kind of tactics. Like, he just said, right, we're just going to play this formation and with defensive players, and there was no plan. Whereas this was, you could tell there was a real plan here. And we actually had the more clear-cut chances in the first half. So, you know, we created more than them. We had less possession. I think the first half was early 60s, maybe mid-60s to Man City. In the end, it went to over 70% for Man City. But they really looked clueless, particularly in that first half. They didn't. I was really surprised how they didn't expose us. And looking at how they approached the second half, they suddenly found that extra bit of space. And that's a little bit to do with maybe fitness, but also I think Grealish made a bit of a difference for some reason. I watched Foden recently, and he's just not quite there at the moment. And I don't really know. He was getting frustrated in that first half. He was. There were times where he was offside. I think he was caught offside at least three times, and that was just being over eager, just wanting the ball, making those runs. And that, you know, is obviously not a bad thing, being eager, but it just looked like he was, you know, pushing it too much. But let's go through each of the individual players. So De Gea had a very quiet game because he wasn't needed. There wasn't, the goal was probably impossible to stop. It was a header cross from De Bruyne, had that space. Fred was nowhere near him for the first time. And he got a nice cross, and it was basically an open goal, kind of impossible to save. But other than that, didn't need to make any saves. So, you know, he was pretty good with his feet, I thought. There were some, you know, decent passes, looked comfortable. There were a few occasions where, as a defensive unit, we looked like we did 2 or 3 years ago, or 4 or 5 years ago, where you had the kind of Jones in defence and Smalling, and they just couldn't get it out of their own third. And there were occasions where it looked like we were getting pressed. But the difference in quality is then Malacia or Wan-Bissaka would then pass it to Casemiro, who'd do a 1-2 with Eriksen. And we just always found the space, and that's the difference of having that quality of people who are comfortable in possession, of being able to make those 1-2s, and suddenly, and then at the top of that diamond is Fernandes, who's then going to make the ball and spread the play, and the counter attack happens with Rashford and Martial, and it was really nice to see that we were comfortable in possession. And it didn't always work, and Man City are an absolute dream, I can imagine, for the manager Pep to see how they press. Like, they really do press better than I think I've ever seen any team do that. Yeah, they don't give anybody any time on the ball, and it's really hard to play, and so you do have to have the quality. And when you think about McTominay and Fred to some extent in the past, they just haven't had that quality. They haven't been able to do that. Fred is finding his place in this squad. You know, he's a destroyer. He's someone who's got legs. He's someone who's got heart. And he is doing a fantastic job, and he's getting good minutes. You know, he's playing in games. He's coming on as the first sub when we want to either close out a game or whether we want to add a bit of energy. And he stayed right to the end, you know, and that shows his value to this team today. To get to, you know, it reminds me a little bit of Park Ji-sung coming into those games and doing man-marking jobs? You know, and who's got the better quality, Fred or Park Ji-sung? Well, they're actually quite similar players. I would say that Fred maybe has a bit more quality in some respects as far as being more mobile. And, you know, Park Ji-sung was one of the unsung heroes of that later generation of Ferguson's team. He'd always rely on him on the big games. And, you know, I think Ten Hag liked Fred for that reason, that he's a pretty selfless player. So De Gea, you know, quiet, very quiet. Back four, I thought were pretty impeccable, really. I thought Malacia, he seems to be a, you know, just looking at him and the way that he runs around and he's got youthful exuberance and, you know, you always feel like there's a mistake in him, and yet he doesn't really seem to make a mistake too much. And he's feisty as well. He was giving Mahrez a real run for his money today. Mahrez was not happy. You know, a lot of the Man City players were holding imaginary yellow cards and wanting Malacia to be booked, but, you know, he just didn't give him an inch. Every time they got the ball with the back to the goal, Malacia would be up behind them, poaching for that ball, and quite often won it as well, you know. And it just, from the moment we started that game, we didn't hold back. We didn't press them. The difference with the Ralph Rangnick disaster, debacle, whatever you want to call it, was we had this pressing idea, and quite often players would just press individually, and they thought, oh, I've heard this pressing idea, and they would press, and the problem is as soon as that player goes towards the City player, then, you know, City are too good and they're too skilled individually for that to be a worry. So bang, 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 they pass, and then suddenly they're open. The difference with this is we held our line. We didn't need to press in those kind of in their half, effectively. We could watch them with all our players behind the ball, watching, closing down when needed, when there was a break, and you saw the work rate. And there were a few occasions where, you know, where for whatever reason, I think Rashford made one mistake where he didn't track back, and you could see, and they had an opportunity from that. And that's the difference, is you can't do it unless the whole team do it. And, you know, it wasn't absolutely perfect today, but it was near as damn it, you know, it was a fantastic, fantastic display. And when they scored in the 60th minute, I thought, that's it, you know. But I was so proud of them. I was so proud that we had stuck it to them. And I thought, you know, let's just keep it 1-0. And let's just, you know, be happy with that result. Because the performance was what mattered, maybe. That's how I was trying to rationalise it. And we then just took it to them again and raised it up another level. And this is a different City. This is a very interesting City, because they've got this robot goal machine who's going to break all the records. And yet, I think they're not as good. And there is an over-reliance, and they're looking for him. And yet, what they were so good at for the last, you know, particularly the last 5 years with Pep, is everybody in the team gets involved. Everyone's comfortable on the ball. They don't rush it. They're comfortable going sideways, and then suddenly a killer pass, and, you know, it's a midfielder from deep running through. You know, one of the wingers dropping back. You know, there isn't any one way to score a goal. There wasn't any one way to score a goal. Whereas now I think they think there's only one way to score a goal, and it's to get it to Haaland. And so a lot of the time, they're not getting, you know, they're not being able to do that. If you null the threat of De Bruyne, who's the main instigator in that, which is what Fred did, then it's very hard to get that ball to Haaland. Having said that, you know, City are not that far behind what they were last season. The difference is Arsenal are, you know, are quite a bit ahead, and United are on the tails along with Newcastle. And so I think they are now 5 points, but before today they were only 2 points what they were last season, this time last season, and with 5 goals more. So I suppose we don't read too much into it, and I think today's result, I think, can be down to Man United's performance. Our performance was better than their performance with what we had to do today. And yes, we didn't dominate play. Yes, we didn't get 70% of possession. But that's not what we do. That's not really what we do. And particularly against a team we have to respect. They are the champions of England at the moment. And they've had their evolution has happened over a much longer period of time. A sustained success, and we're basically starting from scratch, you know, from those two games, Brighton and Brentford, you know, that was the moment we started. And it now, with this result behind us, it's quite a remarkable turnaround. Like, we've only lost to City in that time. Not to City, sorry, to Villa. In that time, and that's remarkable. You know, we've only lost one at home this season, which was Brighton, the first game, and that could have, that, you know, it was a disastrous game, but we weren't that bad. We didn't necessarily deserve to lose that game. We just probably didn't deserve to win either, but you know, it could have gone our way another day, and that's 100% home record. And that's really important to us, to United, to have Old Trafford, for the fans to go and know that you know, we're going to give it to every team that comes. And most importantly, to build that fear again. Because, quite honestly, over the last 10 years, teams have been coming to United not fearing us anymore. And in fact, certainly the lower teams as well, you know, have wanted to come because it's such a great stadium to come and to win at that stadium is a pretty amazing thing. So they've come, you know, with no fear, and hopefully we can now put that fear back into and we've already started doing that. So Malacia was fantastic. Shaw and Varane, solid as rocks. You know, they, you know, I can't even pinpoint any specific moments in that game where they just looked so comfortable. There wasn't anything to do. They just looked very comfortable. They're both good on the ball, so that helps. There's no rush or panic. And, you know, it makes a big difference. And it also makes a big difference having the midfielders that they have in front of them, to know that there's always an outlet. I thought Wan-Bissaka, in a way, being a force change for Dello, was possibly a good thing. You know, he was relatively quiet again. He had some great tackles, and like he does with his spider legs, and you know, he's a proper defensive right back, and maybe today was a good thing having that. I still think Dallo is probably our first choice. But it's nice to have those options now. You know, we've got 4 fullbacks who we don't get nervous about. You know, 2 left backs, 2 right backs. Whoever plays for us in those positions, I feel like we've now got, you know, 2 high Premier League standard, you know, they would get into most of other teams. Then the midfield, Eriksen was. He's our Paul Scholes that we've been missing for so long. He's quite different to Paul Scholes in so much. He doesn't dribble in the same way that Paul Scholes used to, and kind of 1-2s at the edge of the area, bombing into the area. But what the similarities are, whenever he gets the ball, he doesn't make a mistake with it. He'll make the right pass, whether that's just a pass back, or whether that's a sideways pass, or whether that's a quick turn to see where there's an option going forward. And he does that just so consistently. And he's a joy, you know, he's one of those players that we've been crying out for. And I just wish we'd signed him 7 years ago when we had the chance, or whenever it was, 8 years ago. You know, he is a proper midfielder, and we possibly have still another good 3 years out of him, because he doesn't rely on his running. You know, he's much more like a Paul Scholes, that, you know, he's so clever and so smart that he just is in the right place at the right time. And being alongside our boy Casemiro, oh my goodness, Casemiro is the boy. He is a absolutely vital part of that team now. Like, without him, if he's not playing in a big game, I think he would be the player that we would miss the most. Because he's just brought this steadiness and this reassurance and this class as well. The class that he has. You know, it's hard to put that. You know, remember when we used to kind of comment about Roy Keane and what he brought to that team? And there was all, you know, the feistiness and the hunger and all that you think of Roy Keane. But at the end of the day, Roy Keane was also a classy midfielder. You know, he had all the passes, he had all the touches, and Casemiro maybe even has more. You know, some of the passes that he made were just sublime. And that's not his job. You know, that's not fully his job in this team. And yet, I think he certainly surprised me that he's got that in his locker. Fred, I've already commented on what he did. Fred was magnificent in the role that he was given. The fact that he was given that role was a stroke of genius. Null the source of the attack from De Bruyne, who does run the show for City. And I don't know how many teams have done that, and it seems simple when it's done. And then you had Martial and Rashford, who ran all day. Rashford ran all day. Antony came on in the second half. He worked hard. Nothing really came off. There was a moment where he got a turn on, and it was opened up the play. He kind of pivoted on the defender and left him for dead. And unfortunately, he'd been in an offside position, so it didn't matter. And that was tough, because that could have been interesting. But I do like Antony. I wish we hadn't spent £80 million, because it sounds too much for that type of player. But if we spent 45 or 35 or 40, then we'd be loving him. Because, you know, and at the end of the day, he's 22. So if we get 10 years out of him, playing a bit better than he's playing now, you know, or even just the same, but 10 years, and he evolves his game, which he will do again with Ten Hag, and Ten Hag knows him. You know, he wouldn't have brought him into the club if he didn't think there was room for improvement. And, you know, 10 years, Sunday seems like a bargain. You know, that's a lot cheaper than the 6 months that Chelsea are paying for Felix, and we get to keep him, and we'll develop him, and he'll get better and better. So I think it's tough that of his price tag, but he did a job. And then the real game changer was when Garnacho came in, and he came onto that left side, and I've never seen someone just look so comfortable, you know, doing what they do. When he does it, it looks so simple, and you think, well, if you're right-footed on that left side, yeah, of course, just ghost in, keep the ball on the right side, make it hard for the defender, and then things open up. But there's so many players who try to do that. You know, Sancho being one, and we'll see how things go for Sancho when he comes back. But this is a boy who has so much confidence, and he's only 18 years old. Just imagine, 18 years old, and I think he's doing more than. This isn't a comparison. This is just reality that of the 18-year-olds who have played for Man United, of which Ronaldo was one. When Ronaldo came in, he had all the tricks, but I don't know how many opportunities he really created, or how many goals he scored himself. And Garnacho is doing that in a team that is still finding itself. You know, when Ronaldo came in, he was in a team that was already a very, very good team. So I just think this guy's going to get better and better. I hope he keeps his feet on the ground, and hope he's. I'm not sure how nice a lad he is. I that's just a genuine statement. I hope he is a nice lad. I've heard a few things, again, just through the press, but a few things that he is going to have to be, he's going to have to learn, and he's going to just realise that, he may have a lot now, but he could have even more in the future, and keep humble, keep working, and more days like this will come, and obviously the trophies will come as well. But that movement for the goal, it looks simple again. It looked simple when he did it, but it wasn't simple to pivot that quickly around and get the ball in that danger zone. And Rashford knew it was, Rashford, I think it was Akanji who just left him for dead, who left Rashford, and Rashford just had so much space because he knew that that's what Garnacho was going to do. And it was just magical. It was a magical moment because that was the culmination of this build-up where people have questioned whether this run of fixtures of 8 wins or however many it's been really warrants that we are challengers. And I say challengers in quite a broad sense. I don't know what challengers mean, but we're challenging the top teams. Are we challenging for the Premier League yet? God, there's a big part of me that wants to say yes, we are. But I think we have to wait a week. I think we have to see what Tottenham do against Arsenal. I think we've got a massive game midweek. Because if we lose that, then we just lose all momentum. Or even if we draw it, if we draw against Crystal Palace, then everything we've done today has not really been worth it, because those are the games that you have to win. We've closed the gap now on City. We're a point behind them, like a genuine point, 1 point behind them, no games in hand, and it just takes one more slip up from them. And then we go above them. Arsenal, you could see a situation at the end of next weekend where we're level on points with them. And that sounds ridiculous, but they could lose this weekend against Spurs. They could then lose against us next weekend. And then by that point, we have got the same amount of points as them if we win, if we beat Crystal Palace and then beat them next weekend, which is just ridiculous if you think about it. And that will then be only, we'll have played 20 games. So we'll have played just over half the games of the season. And then, you know, we've come back from 14 points behind before, over halfway through the season. I think people forget that this is a World Cup year where in the middle of January, we're not quite yet halfway through the season. So there's still a lot to play. Usually you've got the Christmas matches about now and things change quite dramatically around that time. So there's still loads of time. There's still loads of football. Arsenal have been fantastic and certainly deserve to be where they are at the moment. Can they sustain it? Have they peaked? I personally think that they not have peaked, but they have been playing their best football. You know, you don't look at there and think, well, there's loads of room for improvement. I'm not sure about that. Maybe there is, but I'm not sure. But I know for a fact that within the United team, there's a massive amount of room for improvement. We've still got two or three players to come in to who, you know, have got a lot to prove. We've got Weghorst to come in, who's going to add a great dimension for certain games that we have needed for a long time. We've got Sancho to come back in, Dallow to come back in. So, you know, there is a lot to get excited about. And now we've won this game, this is the start of something that could be quite special. But it will only be special if we do the job in this next week. I said if we can get 6 points, minimum 5 out of these 3 games, the City, Crystal Palace, Arsenal game, then we've got a chance of Premier League. And we shouldn't be thinking about the Premier League, but there is no reason why we shouldn't either if we can certainly beat Arsenal next weekend. It would just be very frustrating if we don't get a result against Crystal Palace. Anyway, this has been a day that we should all savour. We enjoy seeing our City friends tomorrow, Monday morning. Enjoy that. That's something that we haven't been able to enjoy for a long time. And it's not just a one-off victory. This is a real statement that we are back, that we are here to stay, I think. This is a team that wasn't just a result from nowhere. You know, we've earned this over the last 2 or 3 months. We've been building to this. We just haven't played the opposition to prove that we can beat this type of opposition. But we've now beaten Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City. We've drawn against Newcastle and Chelsea. We've beaten Spurs. You know, there's, who else is there to beat? You know, we've now done it all. We can beat everyone in that league. Newcastle, we need to just shake off. I think they will also drop points. I look at their team and I just think they've got a fantastic manager and they've got a great work ethic and team morale going on. But they're also not a team that I am worried about for the whole duration of the season. I don't think they've got enough quality yet. But I think they will probably be in that top four. But along with United... But wouldn't it be nice if we just got a little bit more than top four? We've certainly challenged it kind of right to the end of the season. That would be something really special. Thank you very much. This was the United Man Podcast.